Book critic John Leonard has a review of The Magic Lantern by a journalist who was an eyewitness to many of the most dramatic events in Eastern Europe last year.
Timothy Garton Ash is a serious man, a scholar at Oxford specializing in Middle Europe, a highbrow journalist for periodicals like the New York Review of Books. By accident, he found himself, wherever he went in 1989, somehow on the barricades, at the bottom of a Silesian coal mine, delivering a pro-solidarity speech in Polish, and in Heroes Square in Budapest for a funeral that turned into a resurrection, and in Berlin on a November Sunday when the wall fell down. And most memorably, in a theater in Prague, on a pass stamped personally by Havel, where, without any dress rehearsals, they wrote and performed The Deliverance of Czechoslovakia. There are moments, says Ash, when you feel that somewhere an angel has opened his wings. About such moments, it's impossible to be scholarly and objective. Ash tries, but not very hard. He speaks of something he calls a revolution, a combination of reform and revolution, conducted as much in the media as on the streets, a mixture of popular interest and elite negotiation, in which prisoners became prime ministers and prime ministers became prisoners. He refers to 1789 in France, 1917 in Russia, and 1848, the springtime of nations. He knows perfectly well there's hard work and deep trouble ahead, smashed economies, polluted environments, ethnic tensions between Magyars and Romanians, Germans and Poles, Czech versus Slovak, the Muslims, the Gypsies, and the Jews. It's as if Stalinism, the ideology and the architecture and the secret police, had sat for 44 years on these countries like a glacier. After the thaw, after what might almost be called the decolonization, all the old reptilian grudges are just itching to resume. But in this lovely, breathless book, Ash is a fan, not an historian. In Warsaw, on election day, some voters came directly from their children's first communion, trailing little girls in long white dresses, the first communion and the first election. In Budapest, a wizened survivor tells him, "I'm happy to have lived to see the end of this disaster, but I want to die before the beginning of the next one." And in Prague, well, you had to be there. Imagine a revolution that's swift, almost entirely nonviolent, joyful, and funny. Havel and his Civic Forum friends met at a theater, The Magic Lantern, on the set for a Dürrenmatt play called Minotaurus. Under a television turned to an operetta with the sound off, they wrote their demands. Their daily performance was a press conference. Once, when they were tired and depressed, students appeared on stage dressed comically as young pioneers, white blouses, red bows, the girls' hair in pigtails. "It is the committee for a more joyful present. We have come," they say, "to cheer you up and to make sure you don't turn into another Politburo." Then they hand out little circular mirrors to each member of the plenum. But all of Prague was a theater. In Wenceslas Square, 300,000 people took the keys out of their pockets and rattled them like wind chimes, like massed Chinese bells. Clearly something suprarational was happening. "Hegel's Weltgeist," said some. "Agnes of Bohemia," said others. For himself, says Ash, "I'll stick with the angels." So will this reviewer, because Ash was one of those angels, beside himself and jumping for joy.
John Leonard writes about television for New York Magazine. He's a columnist for New York Newsday and media critic for CBS Sunday Morning. He reviewed The Magic Lantern by Timothy Garton Ash.